If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
The Pope has passed away. Francis is no longer with us, dead at the age of 88. With a little perspective on that, Heidi Schlumpf, the National Catholic Reporter, based here in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. Heidi, you're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to talk with you this morning.
You're a Notre Dame grad, I think I saw, and then you went to Northwestern, Garrett Evangelical, right?
Yes, I did. Studied theology there.
And so what is your beat then? What do you report on? Just tell me a little bit about your work.
Sure. The National Catholic Reporter, I'm based in Chicago. It's based in Kansas City, but it's a national paper. It's independent, and we do journalistic coverage of the Catholic Church. So because we're not officially part of the church, we're able to do that in an independent journalistic way. And we cover everything that's going on, both in the church and the world. And certainly covering the Vatican and the Pope is a big part of our mission. I don't personally do it. We have a Vatican correspondent in Rome who does that, but I have been to Rome a couple times to cover things as well.
So what's the legacy of this Pope?
Well, I think it's quite a legacy. As our headline said this morning, we called him a trailblazing Pope who tried to revitalize the global church. I think when Pope Francis became Pope in 2013, he was facing a church that needed a little rebrand, if you will, that needed to stop being so self-referential, as he said, and needed to be focused outward in the world. He often used the term saying we need to be a field hospital, that we would be out there caring for the wounded in society. And his legacy is one of trying to always bring to the foreground the importance of mercy, both God's mercy for us, but then how we're supposed to take mercy out into the world. And I think today many people will be mourning the fact that he's gone, because that was very inspiring for a lot of Catholics around the world.
What's an example or two of one of these causes that were important to him and how they manifested?
Yes, I think that his concern about migrants is one that was front and center from the beginning of his papacy, and even until his last day yesterday, where he met with Vice President J.D. Vance, who he had, written a letter to the U.S. bishops talking about how they needed to do more on this issue about migrants. Climate change was another one, and those two issues often are related. He was one of his major encyclicals, Laudato Si, was about climate change, but it was always about the poor and the marginalized. So going out to the peripheries and not, focusing on the centers of power in the world, but about the poor and how they needed the message of God's love.
Was he critical of U.S. policy per se? I mean, I know that it's been described as a rift between the administration and the papacy, and it appeared as though when J.D. Vance went over there that he would not get an audience with the Pope. Lo and behold, one of the Pope's last humans that he laid eyes on was our vice president. Just talk to me a little bit about the policy differences and why that meeting happened.
Yeah, so I mean, the Pope had policy differences probably with every U.S. leader. Sometimes it's been over issues such as the death penalty or abortion, the legality of abortion. But with this particular president and vice president, it seemed that he was concerned about threats of mass deportation and treating migrants who have a legal right to claim asylum not being treated correctly or not being treated with the human dignity that they have. The Pope was never afraid to not speak up about these issues. And, I don't know exactly what he said to J.D. Vance in his meeting. I certainly was surprised that he was doing as many public appearances yesterday as he was, given that he was supposed to be recuperating. And maybe we're seeing today that was like a last push or something. Pretty shocking this morning.
I thought about the juxtaposition of those. I thought, if you are the Pope and perhaps you know that these are your end days, do you want to spend it with J.D. Vance? Or, in fact, that's exactly the person you want to spend it with, because you want to get one last message out, one last push for compassion, right?
Well, I can't read the Pope's mind, but
yeah,
he certainly did try to be he tried to be open to everybody, let's put it that way. So, you know, there was a level of openness with this papacy and a lack of judgment, you know, that famous saying he said early on, who am I to judge? He wanted to accompany people and walk with them and not be so concerned about doctrinal or moral purity, but rather to being with people in the messiness of life and letting them know that God was with them in that.
Do you think the next pope will follow that course?
Well, that's the big question, of course. It's hard to say, and I can't predict who the next pope will be. But it is true that of the cardinal electors, the ones who are under 80 who will vote in the conclave, more than two-thirds have been appointed by Pope Francis. That doesn't automatically mean that they agree with the direction he was taking the church. And it is often true that the next papacy tries to continue in the same vein as the previous papacy. So Pope Benedict was continuing much in the same vein as Pope John Paul II. So we could get that. But then sometimes the church also swings one direction and then swings back in another direction. So it's hard to predict, but we'll know soon enough when the conclave happens and the white or black smoke comes out of the chimney.
Is it top-down or bottom-up? Do the bishops then sort of take the temperature of the Catholic community around the world and say we need to be more this way or more that way, more liberal or more conservative? Or do those men in that room have their own politics, if you will, their own ideas about the church, and they're going to find somebody that reflects those feelings?
Yeah, I would say a little bit of both and probably a little more of the latter. There are a series of meetings before the conclave happens, and all cardinals attend those meetings, even those who are over 80 and thus can't vote for the next leader. But during those meetings, the whole focus is what are the needs of the church today? Now, we just finished this years-long process of synodality, the Synod on Synodality, which is one of Pope Francis's kind of signature movements of making these meetings of bishops, but also including other people in them as well, including, for the first time, women as voting members in the Synod, where they come together and talk about what are the needs of the church going forward. So it seems like that conversation had already started and had tapped into what the church needs by holding synodal conversations at the lowest level and then bringing them all up to this large meeting. So I think that those kinds of conversations that had begun in the Synod will continue in the pre-conclave meetings. And then, of course, once they get in to vote, those will be very much on those cardinals' minds.
It's interesting. I didn't realize that if you're over the age of 80, you can't vote. It's ironic that you yet can serve. I would almost wonder if it shouldn't be the other way around. Everybody can vote, but if you're that old, maybe you shouldn't serve. It's such a taxing position. But I guess that's not new. If you're over 80, you don't get to vote.
Well, the new rules, the rules have been, you know, fine-tuned over the years. I know John Paul II made some changes to the rules, as did Francis, and I'm not an expert on when exactly the age rule came. But yes, so that, you know, there are certain ages for retirement from being a bishop and from being a voting cardinal. The thing with a pope is that when you are made pope, you're a pope, you know, except for some very rare exceptions, including Pope Benedict, you're a pope for life. So it doesn't have a retirement age per se attached to it, because it's something that you are until you pass away, or until, in the case of some rare exceptions, where you step down.
Maybe over the next few weeks, we'll say hello again. Heidi, this has been very helpful. But we'll see what kind of smoke comes out of the smokestack there and maybe check in with you again. I appreciate your help today.